Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions: does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message titled, Called to Be Loved.
When I was 5.5 years old, my sister was 2 years old. My dad was a pastor in Portland, Oregon. He built a church there. One day, my dad and my sister and I were in the car together. My mom was at home. And in those days, there was no such thing as car seats. In fact, there weren't even strap seat belts. It was just the little belt around the front. And they didn't even have seat belts in the middle. It was just like on the two sides. And so we were in the car together, and my dad was driving, and I was in the front seat with my seat belt on, and my baby sister, 2 years old, was in the back seat with the seat belt on. And as we got ready to go across a bridge, one of the many bridges in the city of Portland that cross the Columbia River, as Dad started to go across that bridge, a car swerved in front of our car. And in order to not hit it, my dad jerked the car and did a quick right turn to avoid being hit and hitting that car. And when we did, the car fishtailed. And when it fishtailed, the back door of that car, of our car, opened, and I watched my baby sister fly out the back door. I will never, never forget that sight. And I watched my little sister tumble over gravel that was covered with tar right there by the side of that bridge. And in horror, I watched her tumble over and over as she flew out that door. I'll never forget what happened next. My dad slammed on the brake, jammed it into park, jumped out of the car, and ran over and scooped up my baby sister, who was bleeding profusely, in his arms, ran back to the car, and put her in the front seat. And there was no seatbelt for it, so it was my job to keep her there while he's driving 90 miles or 80 miles or 70 miles an hour, however fast it was, to get to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and they rush my baby sister into the emergency, and Dad runs over to the phone to call my mom to tell her about this horrible scene that we have just witnessed. And I'm sitting as a 5.5-year-old boy in that waiting room by myself, having just witnessed this horrific event. And I was paralyzed with fear. And in my simple little way as a little boy, I began to pray. And all of a sudden, the peace that passes understanding came over my life. And one thought went through this: my father will handle this. My father will handle this. Now, you and I know that human fathers don't have unlimited ability, unlimited power, but your heavenly Father does. And he can handle anything. He has unlimited power, and he has unlimited love. And when you realize that he is good, and he is God, and he loves you, and the things that don't make sense in your life, you can have the peace that passes understanding. Now, God's love does not exempt you from pain or suffering in this life. No, Christians have the exact same problems that non-Christians do. The difference is we get the peace that passes understanding, where I can trust God in a moment when everything is falling apart around me, and I can know there's a promise in the Bible. We just looked at it last week, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, even the bad things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called, circle that word, called according to his purpose. Circle that, purpose. Calling and purpose to go together. And when we live the calling and we live out our purpose and we let God love us and we love God back, we can know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. And that gives us the peace that passes understanding. Number four. The fourth thing that happens when I know that I'm totally loved by God is I gain the courage to take risks. I gain the courage to take risks. When somebody believes in you, you are capable of accomplishing things you would never be able to accomplish on your own just because they believe in you. It gives you an additional power. It gives you additional energy. You know, sometimes when we're doing Christmas or Easter, or some of these times when I'm doing 14, 16 services back to back, and along about number nine, I'll start to get tired, and I think, I don't think I got the energy to do this. And I'll look right over here to my wife, who sits right down here, and she'll wink at me, and I'll think, I could do 100 more. Because all I need her to do is to believe in me. And it gives me enormous energy. When someone believes in you unconditionally, the way God does, and when you experience that, it releases you. You have dreams that have gone unfulfilled in your life because you have been scared to death to go after them. What if I fail? And you're going to die with unfulfilled dreams unless you key in to the love of God. And you let him give you that confidence that comes from him believing in you. Even if you're old, it's not too late. When I was in the seventh grade, we lived up in Northern California in the Redwoods. And I was taking a shop class in the seventh grade. And everybody was supposed to make something for shop class. And I decided for that Christmas, I was going to make my mom and dad a Redwood table. Now, a little true confession here. Your pastor has zero artistic and craft ability. I'm just not very coordinated with my hands. I'm just not good at all. And I decided that I was going to make this Redwood table. And I worked on it for about 6 months hard. We had a barn on our property, and I wouldn't let my parents come out the barn because I was working on it there for 6 months. And after 6 months, it was a disaster. I mean, a mess. And I mean, nothing in this table looked right. I mean, it was all wompy jawed. It was misbalanced. One edge was longer than the other. It was at bad sanding, and parts of it were nicked off. And I had done too much lacquer at one end and not enough at the other. And it was a mess. And I remember how disappointed I was in myself and how bad I felt. I so badly wanted this to be a nice gift for my parents. And I just remember sitting down in that barn one day and just sobbing. And I just thought, I wanted this thing to work out. And I've given it my best shot, but truthfully, my best isn't good enough. It just sucks. And I was there literally sobbing in that barn by myself. And my dad heard me. And he came up to the barn and he asked for permission to come in, and I let him come in. And I said, Dad, I just screwed it up. I have made such a mess of this. And I wanted it so badly to be nice, but it's not. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, son, it's okay. We can start over, not you. We can start over, and this time, I'll help you. Now, my dad was a master carpenter. In his lifetime, he built about 150 churches all around the world. He knew how to build stuff. So if my dad said, this time I'll help you, it's a done deal. Okay, it's going to succeed. And this is what your heavenly Father is saying to you today. I don't care if you're 15 or 50 or 95. God is saying, you may have really messed it up royally. And you gave it your best shot, but it just flat out wasn't good enough. And you're really, to be honest, if you're honest with yourself, you're disappointed in your life. And your Heavenly Father comes to you today and says, it's okay. You can start over. And this time, I'll help you. We will do it together. And one plus God is a done deal. I don't care how old you are, it's not too late to make that start over. 9-year-old Malachi Paul was just a young little kid who auditioned for Britain's Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent is the UK counterpart to American Idol or The Voice, where you go and you audition, and then if you win that, you go to another audition. If you win that, you start being on the show, and if you get on the show, then you try to win without getting eliminated. And Malachi Paul was at his first audition, packed out, and when he saw the crowd, he got stage fright, and he choked, and he started singing, and it just was coming out all bad, really bad. And he wasn't doing very good at it. And he got so embarrassed at his own work, he froze on stage and just stopped and started crying. His single mom was standing in the wings, and she runs out and she hugs him. And I want you to know, unconditional love turns a loser into a winner. You have no idea how many times your Heavenly Father has wanted to reach out and grasp you in his arms when you have felt like, I just blew it. Maybe you blew it publicly, maybe you blew it privately. It didn't work. And your Heavenly Father says, it's okay. We'll start over. And this time we'll do it together. For some of you, God has been waiting for this moment your entire life. He's been waiting for this moment where you, for the first time, would get a little inkling of how much he loves you. I've said many times, it's not, your problem is not that you don't love God. Your problem is you don't know how much he loves you. Because if you did, you could not help but love him. And this is the moment where a million years ago, before anything happened in your life, God chose you and decided to create you to love you. And you have spent your entire life afraid to surrender your total life to God. And the reason why you've been afraid to surrender your total life to God is because you don't know how much he loves you. Nobody knows what is best for you. Nobody knows what will make your life better than God does. So this is your moment. This is your breakthrough moment. This is the moment where you let go of fear. The Bible says this on the screen. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. When love comes in the front door of your life, fear goes out the back. You need to stop being afraid of God. And you need to accept his love, and the fear will drain out of your life. So, how do I become a son of God? How do I become a daughter of God? How do I become a child of God? On the screen, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who believed him, that's Jesus, and accepted him. He's already accepted you. Accepted him. Jesus gave the right to become children of God. So let's talk to God about it. This is your moment. Let's bow our heads. I want you to pray this prayer that will change and transform the rest of your life. Dear God, just say this in your heart. I am so amazed at how much you love me. Thank you that your love for me is wide enough to be everywhere I go. Thank you that your love for me is long enough to last forever. You will never stop loving me. Thank you that your love for me is deep enough to handle all my problems. Thank you, God, that your love is high enough to overlook all my sins, all my mistakes, all my faults and failures because of Jesus. God, I want to feel accepted rather than ashamed. I want to be bold in bringing my needs to you. I need the peace that passes understanding. I want to have peace even in pain that I don't understand. I need your love to give me the courage to take risks, to go after my dream. Jesus Christ, as best I know how, I surrender every particle and room of my life. And I want to learn to love you back because you love me so much. And I want to spend the rest of my life with that first calling of letting you love me. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, the fifth thing that happens when you understand the love of God in your life is I worship instead of worry. I worship instead of worry. What is worship? Worship is simply expressing my love to God. Anytime you say to God, I love you, God, that's worship. You can worship in a small group. You can worship in a church building, a service. You can worship with the windows rolled down your car and the radio blaring. Anytime you express love to God, you are worshiping. Worship is always a response. We love God because he first loved us. Look on the screen. We love God. We love because God first loved us. Remember, your problem is not that you don't love God. Your problem is you don't understand how much he loves you. Now, how do you know, and we'll close with this, how do you know when you're not feeling God's love? Oh, it's real simple. One simple thing, worry. When you worry, at that moment, you have forgotten how much God loves you. Worry is acting like an atheist. Worry is pretending you're an orphan. Worry is saying, I've forgotten I have a heavenly Father who loves me, wants what's best for me, and created me, and is watching over me. Worry is pretending like you're all on your own. You're not. Worry at that moment means, at this point, I have forgotten how much God loves me. And you need to choose worship over worry. My oldest son, Josh, had to go back east this week, and he hates to fly when there's turbulence. And because of the storms, he said, Dad, it was constant turbulence. And he said, I had to decide, was I going to worry or was I going to worship? So instead of worrying, he said, I put in my earbuds and put on a bunch of worship songs. You're going to panic or pray the rest of your life. You're going to worry or you're going to worship. You're going to look at your problem or you're going to look at God. Jesus said this, don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He'll give you all you need. From day to day, if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And this promise, that verse right there, is why we're doing Live Your Calling. Now, the next 4 weeks, you don't want to miss any week. This is the most important series I've ever done. You don't want to miss any week. Those next four callings don't matter at all if you don't get this first one, because they all flow out of love, not out of duty, not out of guilt, not out of pressure, but they flow out of letting God love you, being loved. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, would you like to go deeper with Pastor Rick to discover God's purpose in your life? Well, now you can with the video-based study kit called What on Earth Am I Here For? This life-changing study is taught by Rick and includes a workbook and 6 video sessions. As you go through these lessons, you'll embark on a journey of discovery to answer life's most fundamental question, what on earth am I here for? You'll learn that it's only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny. Every other path leads to a dead end. This resource is packed with biblically centered principles and is perfect for personal or small group study. So be sure to request this study kit when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus with a hurting world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.